All right, we'll call the call this meeting of the Commerce Committee to order. As you have figured out, this is a highly unusual emergency meeting of the Commerce Committee. The circumstances of this are that we have a situation placing into jeopardy the health and safety and security of Minnesotans. That is the reason for the hearing. No different than a tornado or a flood or some sort of other emergency that people might face. So thus, we have as yet an unnumbered bill from Representative Radinovich that he's going to walk us through. If you'll approach Representative Radinovich, this bill will get a number as of tomorrow's introduction. It's my understanding that it will go through this committee today, Ways and Means likely in the morning, and then possibly be taken up on the House floor as early as tomorrow. Let me ask, in light of the circumstances which are about to be further explained, is there anyone who objects to the manner in which this was brought before us today? Obviously, he didn't comply with the 72-hour rule. We didn't, frankly, comply with any rules. We put it on as an informational item in light of the emergent nature of the propane shortage. Is there any objection from any member to being here? All right, thank you. With that,
well, Mr. Chairman, Davids? I have a pen and a phone. And what I'm just logistically, how do we, so we're not taking any official action today, and Ways and Means, it's before we go into session, so that won't be official. So on the floor with the process and declare an emergency, and so we do it that way.
Yeah, Representative Davids, that's my understanding of if we opt to proceed in that fashion, it would have to be done and by declaring an emergency by supermajority of the vote of the body.
Can you put tax conformity on here?
And here we go.
Let the games begin. No, I don't think anybody on this side of the aisle objects. I'm not aware of any.
And I know Representative Hoppe passed his note. He was went home ill today, is my understanding. So otherwise, he would have joined us. But I just wanted to make sure that before we started out that we didn't have any procedural objections. And again, it's for informational purposes only. There will not be a vote at the end. But we do have representatives from the Department of Commerce here to talk about the need for the funding, and we've got Representative Radinovich who took the lead in terms of authoring the bill. With that, unless there's any questions about the process, Representative Radinovich, to your bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Today I have, the Chair mentioned, as yet unnumbered bill. It's a very straightforward bill. It appropriates $20 million in state funds to the LIHEAP program. The LIHEAP program is a low-income heating assistance program assisting Minnesotans across the state. As we're all very aware, in the interim, in just in the last month and a half, we've seen a very sharp crunch in the availability of propane, which has led to spikes in prices. The governor and the federal delegation has been doing what they can in the meantime to alleviate supply pressures. They've had trucks. They've lifted restrictions on trucks going between Texas, where there's currently propane available, so that we might have more trucks with propane coming back and forth between Texas. They've encouraged Governor, it's not Scott Walker, Rick Perry of Texas, to lift the restrictions in his state as well, and he's complied with that. And you know, many other measures have been taken, including declaring a state of a peacetime emergency here in Minnesota to make sure that we can get propane to those who most need it. I'm sure that all of you have probably heard from constituents of yours who have relayed that they've been having a very difficult time here in this crunch and been paying very high prices for propane. You know, in my district, it's largely a rural and older demographic, and so propane is a very common way by which people are heating their homes. There are a lot of seniors living on fixed incomes in my district, and this has been an undue hardship on them. The LIHEAP program is a federally funded program. Last year, the fiscal year 14 appropriation of the state of Minnesota was about $115 million. This $20 million will be in addition to that. It will be state funds. These $20 million are designed to supplement, not replace, federal dollars. I think that we all understand the sense of urgency here. We'd like to obviously get this passed as quick as we can to provide relief for Minnesotans across the state. If we, you know, if we don't act, or as previously indicated by the governor, he was going to insist that this was included in a supplemental budget that would be released after February 28th. There's a very real urgency to act now, because at the current rate, the LIHEAP program could run out by March 10th, the current appropriation. And so those people who most need heating assistance would be left without any options available to them after March 10th. And so this is something that we can come together, as I think both Democrats and Republicans, and do something good for the state of Minnesota.
Thank you, Representative Radinovich. I think we're going to hold on questions until we get testimony. We've got Commissioner Rothman is joining us as well. And speaking on behalf of the committee, I think we all applaud Governor Dayton for the steps and Commissioner Rothman for the steps that they have taken. I can't imagine that there's anything else that could have been done outside of seeking legislative action. And we appreciate all the efforts that you've made under the circumstances already to deal with this emergency. Commissioner Rothman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I want to thank the committee. Thank Representative Radinovich for sponsoring the legislation, and on behalf of the state of Minnesota and all of us, to move forward as quickly as possible under the emergency situation that we have, and to sort of give you a sense of what circumstances have been like, the situation that we've had, we've been working with over the last few weeks, all the efforts that the administration has done to be able to, in essence, stay ahead, seize the initiative, and do everything we can possibly to save Minnesotans in dire situation. We also passed out some materials for the committee members to take a look at. There's one that describes the low-income heating assistance program, another that has the administrative steps that we took in response to the emergency, and as well the letter from the governor explaining the situation to the leadership of the legislature. As I thought about today's hearing and some of the information that would be most relevant and helpful for you, I think some of the most important things to consider is the people, the dire circumstance of Minnesotans who depend on propane, and all of the individual stories that aggregate to thousands of people who have been in a very serious crisis. And from the administration's perspective, from the governor's, mine, our staff's, it's been an all hands on deck approach. We did not want to have any individual, we didn't want to have any senior citizen, any disabled person, anybody who's dependent on the LIHEAP program, to ever be in a situation where it was sub-zero under the polar vortex with absolutely no heat in their home. And we had many, many situations, hundreds of situations, where that was true. We had people who, when it was 20, 30 below zero and wind chills of even higher amounts, who were absolutely zero in their propane tanks and didn't have anywhere else to turn. When we opened the hotline on January 30, we had hundreds of people call in, and the total to date well exceeds 4,000 people who have called to try to seek help with from the state of Minnesota. We had a team, the Department of Commerce staff, did an exceptional job, diligent work, answering all the phone calls that came in to triage many, many situations. And thankfully, we did not have a situation in Minnesota where we had the worst case scenarios because of the great effort of the staff that worked on the project. I also want to extend and acknowledge the very hard work of others that also helped to make sure that this situation didn't turn into one of the worst case scenarios. So I want to make sure that people understand that the LIHEAP program is administered by the Department of Commerce, but it's also administered in your local communities by the energy assistance providers by the CAP agencies, Lutheran Social Services, and a couple of instances and others who are actually here today. I met with their board and talked to them about the situation. The number of applications that have come in, the crisis applications and the phone calls that everybody has received have been astronomical, and it's put an extreme strain on the resources of the assistance providers to stay ahead, to stay on top of all of the demands and the needs of all of the people in order to get propane assistance to people, to be able to make sure that they have sufficient supply and all that. I also want to say, I think it's important to say at the beginning that Governor Dayton did meet with the industry, propane industry, once in December and then once week of, I think it was January, if my memory is right, January 7th or 28th or something like that, where the governor sat down, discussed and asked what the causes were, what are the problems, and then to see what the administration could do in order to help facilitate increased supply and to make sure that Minnesotans get the supply of propane when they in the situation. So we have had a good working relationship with the propane industry. Roger Leiter and our staff have worked on a daily basis, hourly at times, in some instances triaging some very tough situations where people were out. And at the same time, we're in a difficult situation, as you know, because, as you may know, that the prices of propane spiked at a place which was three times normal than the average price of what people would pay for. And those prices for any individual, any business that relies on propane to heat their home or for the processes, it's absolutely critical for their life, their welfare, and safety. And at those prices, it just it made things extremely tough, a very tough situation. As Representative Radinovich had indicated, the administration took a number of very significant early steps in order to increase the supply. Governor Dayton issued the peacetime emergency, issued the trucking hours of service extension so that our trucks, Minnesota's trucks, and the propane industry could go down, made sure we were in contact with the Texas governor's office. They had a rule that basically said only Texas trucks could pick up at their terminals, and he agreed to waive that rule and allow our trucks to go down and pick up propane. Through the efforts of Governor Dayton, the congressional delegation of Minnesota, and some priority phone calls from senators from our state to the Department of Energy and the White House, there were efforts to prioritize through FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, prioritization of propane through the pipelines to Minnesota to increase the supply. We've seen supply. The situation has improved. The situation, though, is still one where it's at low inventory. It's at 60% of what's normal. And so we're not out of the woods yet on the supply. It's much better. We've received hundreds of thousands of gallons of propane within the last few weeks, which have been very helpful. On the price side, I'll quickly give you an update on that. The price has spiked, as I indicated, in one or two areas at $6.67, I believe. They have moderated. The average has come down over the last few weeks, in large part due to the response to the supply. The most current figure has a high still at $3.89, and that's still over double the amount of the price. So the average has come down, and so we're still in a situation where the supply and prices are at very high levels. In response to the crisis, let me focus on LIHEAP, the Low-Income Heating Assistance Program. When we first started getting calls and we saw the situation that people were in, Our first reaction was to increase the crisis benefit from $500 to $1,000. So if you're on the program, that $500 is eaten up immediately, basically, and another $500. It just wasn't going to buy you very much at those prices. So we increased that to $1,000, and we started to receive applications immediately. We put out word to folks. I think we sent out 27,000 letters to people. We also then kept hearing people who were saying they were so low at 0 or 10% and 20%, but even at 25%. And if you're above 20% at the time, the program wasn't triggered on your crisis benefits. So what we did is we upped that to 30% of your tank level so that you didn't have to wait. And it was the wait times and getting the propane to your home that people were in a very tough spot. So we did that. And then as well, the governor, we looked at the numbers and we decided, and the governor and I and the program looked at a lot of the hard cases where people who were calling in and just $50 or $100 above the eligibility criterion. And it was indistinguishable. I mean, if you couldn't make it, and whether or not you qualified for the low-income heating assistance program. In looking at some of what the other states were doing, we decided to increase the eligibility requirement from 50 to 60, 50% to 60% of the state median income to allow additional households to qualify for heating assistance. And that went for both, it went for propane and basically any heating assistance. Minnesota, as you all know now, has had the coldest winter in 33 years. And in three decades, the polar vortex, the stories are there. You know, even when we want to be forgiven or try to get a relief, we get hammered last week by the blizzard. And if you remember last year, the storms and the weather prevented planning until May, late May. So with all of that, what we've done is tried to expand the amount of benefits that are available. We've tried to extend the amount of time. But of course, when we've gone to this extreme, what has happened is that the date at which we run out of money for all of Minnesota for the low-income heating assistance program went to, it just shortened up. And it's getting tighter and tighter. So, our worst-case scenario is that we're going to run out of money sometime in early March. And because of that, it was necessary to ask for relief. You know, we do not anticipate additional funding at this time from the federal government. And it seemed to be imperative to present this and to ask the legislature, and the governor would like to move as quickly as possible. I open to questions. I can every day. Let me just say this: every day, from our staff's perspective, has been 24/7. It's been like putting out a fire to try to resolve all this stuff. It's eased up, but we're not out of the woods yet, and we still have some a ways to go. So, anyway, thank you for the time and considering this on this basis.
And Commissioner, thank you. I should have, in my remarks, also thank Governor Perry. Governor Dayton, Commissioner Rothman stepped up, but so did Governor Perry. Didn't have to say yes when Governor Dayton reached out to him, and he stepped up, as did the industry folks, mm-hmm. and it's much appreciated all around. We do, I think, have a couple of questions, Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple things, just so I have this down right. We're moving from 50% of state median income to 60%, so we pick up about 120,000 households. Is that correct?
Yes, that 120,000 additional households will be eligible for the program.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Then just maybe to staff here, research here, on line 1.15 through 1.17, the commissioner shall disperse the funds provided in this section in a manner consistent with requirements of the Federal Low Income Energy Assistance Program. That's all coordinated, so we're good there, I would assume.
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, Representative Davids, yes. The in simple terms, the federal law allows the program to go to 60% federal funds, and anything above 60% would be optional for the states to provide additional funding. So we're within the bounds of the federal law, and we would be allowed to even go higher under those percentages.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just two more quick points. One is, you mentioned that this is not just propane that they qualify for, but any heating. Now, did the other heating sources see a spike like propane did? I mean, I'm a little concerned that if we, and then to piggyback on that question is, does the $20 million, do you think that takes us through the winter here, through the heating season? And, I mean, should it be just propane, since propane took the big hike? I don't think fuel oil or natural gas went up anywhere near that. So are we going to be taking away money from people that have the propane emergency and giving it to folks with fuel oil or natural gas or things such as that?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair and Representative Davids, we don't think it won't take away. The funds should, what we've done is the staff have projected the worst case scenario based on the number of applicants projected for this year. They do it every week, and those projections are volatile. They're volatile because of demand, and they're volatile because of the weather. So we can't predict next week or two or three weeks out. That said, we have, since we've started, or since January, when the weather really turned cold, the applications for low-income heating assistance have increased across the board, regardless of heating source. So that whether, you know, whichever heating source you are, that it's been a significant drain for you as well. At the end, I think the best way to characterize the projections is that, to the best of our ability, we projected what would be what we think is the worst case scenario to get us through what is called the run out of, you know, it's a May 31 projection, or try to get to that far. And to the extent we can get there, and it's all based on a program that takes all of the historical data from prior years and demand usage, and then plus on top of that, we've added that 50% to 60% demand, and we've increased the program parameters from the 500 to 1,000 for the crisis benefits. Those are all factored into that number.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Rothman. Representative Woodard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner Rothman, it sounds like you and the Governor have been working on this. When was it first identified that this was a potential problem?
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, Representative, the particular problem for the impact in Minnesota, I think started became onto people's radar screen when the drying of the harvest came in November. It was an extraordinary demand on the propane supply that we had for this year. You can look at the 10-year averages and all that stuff in the last two or three years. But I think that's when the light bulb kind of started to trickle out. The second thing that happened was right about that time, the Cochin pipeline, and those familiar with that, that's just the pipeline that brings propane and supplies from Canada down, became an issue because the pipeline was being closed for maintenance in December, which was a concern of mine and administration's. The governor held a meeting with propane industry and all stakeholders the first week of December and asked some of these questions. But I think then the final point that happened was when the polar vortex hit, when the weather started getting really cold, and we started getting reports of people not being in the prices of propane. I think that's when it just hit everybody, you know, mid-January, when things are getting really bad. And then that's when we took action to ask and to intervene and to do everything we could to try to resolve things. So we're not out of the woods. There's still some issues out there, and there's both immediate issues, there's intermediate issues, and then there's questions down the line. I just say for the record that we have to keep our eye on for this summer, this fall, and this fall in particular, as to preventing it next year.
Representative Woodard.
I thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a quick follow-up to that then, Commissioner Rothman. Did you talk about other tools in the toolbox here for planning purposes like the pre-purchase program, you know, ideas like that, and what was the determination of whether or not that was a tool you were going to use?
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair and Representative, I have a question. If it's for this year for pre-purchase, or do you mean going forward?
Representative Woodard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Commissioner Rothman, knowing that it was going to be a problem, or at least it was a good guess we were going to have a propane shortage, did you talk about doing a pre-purchase of propane supplies? You're authorized to do that, right?
Mr. Woodard, in this situation, no. It wasn't part of the conversation to do that. Typically, we get low-income heating assistance allocations from the federal government as part of the appropriation later in the November-December timeframe. So that, it didn't, in fact, at that time, we weren't, we didn't foresee necessarily having the need to do that for everybody. I don't know if we would put it on our to-do list to think about for this next time around. But there are some issues with pre-purchase. But again, I my general advice is, you know, as we look ahead for this next summer, that everybody should be thinking that this issue is not going to go away. It's going to be another issue to keep on our radar screen next year.
And Mr. Chair, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one final question, too, and this is mainly because I've heard this from constituents when they saw the announcement on the things that the governor was doing. And you mentioned the National Guard and potential for them for safety. Could you kind of clarify what the National Guard would do? And that was not a commentary.
Perfect time.
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative Woodard, in this circumstance, the appropriate declaration of emergency was a peacetime declaration. There's also the ability to declare an energy emergency. With a peacetime emergency comes along with it basically the use of all agency powers within the government, as well as the useful tools of the National Guard. In this particular situation, I think where we were at, the best resource for, thankfully we didn't have to call the National Guard. And the question for me was whether or not the National Guard, whether they have capacity, propane facilities or anything like that. This would have been a unique situation for the National Guard to assist on. It actually has never happened. Obviously, there's been tightness, but not to this extent. I did have a conversation with General Nash to touch base with him about what capability they have. They were prepared to act whatever assistance they could provide, even including offering truck drivers if necessary. And at all points, we were just assessing our ability to gather all the resources from all state agencies.
Thank you. We've got two more folks with questions, and then we do have one more testifier. Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Commissioner. Just clarification. So the crisis benefit increased from 500 to 1,000. That was only for propane and heating oil. So although the threshold changed from 50% to 60% for generally people in urban area that have natural gas, that still remains at 500. Is that correct?
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I think the answer to your question is yes. If I'm following you, the answer is that we increased that 500 to 1,000 for propane and home heating, and that if you have any other heating source, that expansion from you could still be eligible to up to 500 if you're on another heating source, and then we took the other steps, the additional increase from 50 to 60% of SMI independently
of this.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
Representative
Chair.
And the member from Lyon, Representative Budzinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kind of going back, talking about the 500 to 1,000. So if we hope prices kind of normalize next year, is the idea to keep it at 1,000 regardless of the crisis, or is it to move it back to $500 once prices get back to where they were, hopefully, next year.
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair and Representative, we haven't gotten that to that point right now.
Okay.
You know, we would respond to go back to normal if things went back to normal by going back to normal to the extent that we could or needed to. Let me say this though, I think because of the lessons learned here, we will need to assess whether or not next year will be normal or not, and that will depend on how things play out for the rest of the winter, the supplies. We also have to take into account a few things. One is that a lot of the stories are that for low-income heating assistance. So for example, the average low-income heating assistance person who uses propane, they use about 725 gallons a year. You play out the numbers, that's, you know, it's that $1,000 is helpful. But if the prices spike again, they spiked at a level where we were just getting their tanks filled. You know, we weren't getting to be able to fill them to max amount. So we'd have to assess it as we go, I think.
Just one follow-up, too. And just kind of looking at Representative David's dived into this a little bit, talking about, you know, the idea that this is the propane crisis. I've got a lot of constituents that have propane and propane specifically to heat. You know, if we were just to target the, the bill talks about $20 million. If we were to target it towards the spike, which is why we're here, what do you think? Does we have the ability to focus those dollars to the folks that actually saw the general spike in price? So can we do we track and ask people what they're actually taking in for the heat, or do we just ask in general, do you take the LIHEAP dollars, or, I mean, would we be able to, and then what would we spend if we did that to really target it towards the, where we saw the spike?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative, as I had indicated to Representative Davids, this is to pay for the expansion of all of the parameters of the program and to get us based on historically and what we're seeing in terms of the increased applications to get us from running out of money, beginning mid-March range to the end of May. We obviously would want to take care of those folks who have received the brunt of the impact, and to the extent that we can, within these parameters that we've maxed out at this point, help as many people as we could. In essence, what will happen here is that this will allow us to help folks as we proceed along and continue along, and I think that that spike happened, for some people when they ran out. Well, I should say it this way. We're getting calls, even as of late last week, that people are running out of propane on the LIHEAP program. So once we get out of the woods, we'll be able to answer the question a little bit better. But for our best estimate, this is the amount of money that we'll need to pay for the expansion of the program to address the crisis. Okay.
Mr. Chair?
I'm right. Hearing somebody.
Me.
Oh, I'm looking all over and right in front of me.
When Representative Davids had asked this question and then Representative Swedzinski had followed up, instinctively it made sense to obviously target the dollars to where propane, where the spike was. But I think that what we also have to consider is that the propane crisis has been going on for a month, and due to the increased nature of the crisis program and the prices that we're seeing, it's stripped from that pool of money, money that would have otherwise gone to other forms of heating assistance too, and so it's accelerated the decrease in the account. And so I think that while we obviously want to make sure that we target this to propane, we also have to understand that the total LIHEAP funding has been substantially decreased because we've been dealing with this crisis for about a month now.
And Representative Radinovich, for you, I understand the emergency nature of doing this. But the if the hope is among most Minnesotans right now, tomorrow suddenly rather than being 5 below 0, we start to turn the corner. It's 40 degrees. It's my understanding from that the crisis gets behind us. Any unspent dollars go back into the general fund?
As of June 30th, 2014, any unspent dollars would cancel back to the general fund, and we obviously hope that you know, at 65 in a week or two, and that that'll happen. But I don't know that we could count on that.
Yeah. Does anybody else remember here? And I've never heard the term polar vortex until this year, and it seems to just have found its way here and stayed all winter long. But Representative Schoen, you had a question as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This doesn't need a long explanation, Commissioner. What year was the $500 mark set?
Do you mean the Mr. Chair and Representative, do you mean the crisis dollar amount? Or?
Correct.
That
Chair, correct.
I believe that, I don't know the answer to that question. Do we? It's been in there for many years. It's been 500 for part of the program. But we could find out. But the historical memory is in here, and if the historical memory is saying many years, that tells me it's probably at least 10 years or longer.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And Commissioner, thank you. We do have one additional testifier. By the way, thank you for the, I believe that the spike in price stopped as soon as you sent a letter out to folks, and suddenly, miraculously, the increase in price stopped. I don't know if it was purely coincidence, but it seemed as soon as your letter went out that at least plateaued the price and it stopped going up. With that, we have Mr. Anderson on behalf of the Minnesota Community Action Partnership. Welcome.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Arnie Anderson. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Community Action Partnership. We're the statewide association of 26 private nonprofit community action agencies serving all 87 counties. And most likely, we are the local entity delivering energy assistance for your constituents. I have three very brief comments this evening. The first is thank you very, very much for your prompt attention to this crisis. In any crisis, speed is of the essence, and the same is true here. Second, I think it's important to state that there are few things that frighten Minnesotans more than the prospect of having to abandon their home, either because the fuel supply is unavailable or because they can't come up with the money to pay for a fill. Unfortunately, we've been able to avoid that so far. We're hopeful that we'll be able to avoid that as winter plays out. But it's a very, very, very serious thing for many Minnesotans, particularly low-income Minnesotans. Lastly, I think it's very important to acknowledge when government gets it right. And so far, through the consultative efforts of the Department of Commerce, the governor, our congressional delegations, we have been able to get it right so far in Minnesota. And we're very appreciative of that, and we're hopeful that we'll be able to push it across this crisis across the finish line. So thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Are there questions for Mr. Anderson? All right. Thanks again. Is there anyone else who desires to testify? Representative Radinovich, some final comments.
I think that the Commissioner and Mr. Anderson did a good job of explaining, how important this bill will be for Minnesotans and how exactly it works from the technical aspects. I would say to each of my colleagues on the committee that I'm sure that you've been receiving word from your constituents back home about the propane crisis and the individual effect that's had on the lives of those Minnesotans. I hope that we will be able to, move this through the committee process and onto the House floor tomorrow to show Minnesotans that we understand and can respond to their urgent needs as quickly as we can. And so for a month, we've really seen this crisis affecting our neighborhoods and our communities. And, with the help of this committee and the body at large, I think that we'll be able to respond quickly. So I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Radinovich. Thank you, by the way, to Chair Hortman for willingness to do this on a joint basis with the energy policy folks. There's some crossover between the two committees. It still needs to go to Ways and Means tomorrow as an informational item there. Then will be taken up in all likelihood in the fashion that Representative Davids represented. Thank you, members. I know this is the day before session actually starts, but there really are folks that are they're getting down to this much propane, and as Mr. Anderson talked about, there's few things that frighten people more than possibly needing to abandon their homes. Thank you, Representative Radinovich, for stepping up and carrying this bill. We'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow. With that, we stand adjourned.